1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longhorn.
For the past several years, around July 4th, we have participated in the Family Research Council's call to fall. And this is a call to fall on your knees before God and to repent of your sins, to cry out to God and to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, but also not only forgive you of your sins, but also to forgive our nation. So we are praying that God would forgive us and also our nation. So we need to ask Him to do so. And we're going to talk about this today. We're going to focus specifically on abortion and the guilt that is upon each and every one of us, whether you personally have been involved in abortion or not. We all are guilty because we live in this nation. And we need to realize that God holds us accountable, not only for our sins, but also for the sins of our nation. And the reason is that we have a responsibility to work to see God's kingdom come, His will be done here on earth, even as it is in heaven. And we have a responsibility to actually stand. We have a responsibility to be the people, and especially in this nation where our founding documents say, we the people. So we realize that this nation was actually founded by people, by the people, not by the government, not by the powerful, not by a dictator, not by a political leader. This nation was founded by the people. And so we have a responsibility, not only to ourselves to live for God, but also to be working to disciple our nation so that our nation is also obeying God and keeping His commandments. Now, last week we actually talked about, and we've done this in the past as well, the history, the very beginning of abortion, at least this time around, because this isn't the only time that this has happened. In fact, abortion was legal at one point in America and was then outlawed. But in 1967, child killing became legal. It became legal for a woman to pay an abortionist to rip her preborn child's limb from limb and crush her skull before removing her child from the womb. And this was in California, Colorado, and North Carolina. Mothers in all states could actually have traveled to those states and legally paid to have their child killed. In 1870, four more states, including New York, passed laws making child killing legal. By 1973, abortionists had slaughtered over 1.25 million preborn babies in the United States. And since Roe v. Wade in 1973, abortion has taken the life of another 65 million preborn children. And of course, these are the official numbers. The real numbers may actually from abortion, there is a lot of cash business done in abortion. And sometimes businesses aren't quite honest on how much money they bring in cash. And that is especially true with a business that is willing to make a living on killing innocent human beings that are totally defenseless. So these are the official numbers. And this is why when I say the number of babies that have been killed, I always add a million to it because 1.25 million were killed prior to Roe. But we're going to see that blood is actually crying from the ground for vengeance. We're also going to see that God blesses nations, not only individuals, but he blesses nations. God also curses individuals and he curses nations. And in Psalm 33, verses 12 through 19, we read, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. No king is saved by the multitude of God. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine." So we see, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. And we see that our safety is not in our army and how powerful our army is, how well trained they are, how many F-16s we have and B-2 bombers and all of the other equipment that we have that makes us so powerful and so dominant on the battlefield. But really, we are blessed if we obey God as a nation. And in Psalm 29, verse 2, Proverbs 29, verse 2, we read, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan." And let me tell you, there's a lot of groaning in America right now over gas prices, over formula, over inflation. We are really experiencing, I believe, God's judgment on this nation because we have violated his commandments. As the Israelites were preparing to enter the promised land, one of the things that God told them to do was to have men that they would be representatives, that would be representatives of the tribes of Israel, to stand on two different mountains. And on one mountain, they actually pronounced the curses on them if they didn't obey God. On another mountain, they pronounced the blessings if they obeyed God. And then they again pronounced the curses if they disobeyed God. And you can read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28. And you may think, well, that was just for Israel. God doesn't deal that way with other nations. And for this, I would direct your attention to Leviticus chapters 18 and 20, where God is telling the Israelites and he's actually laying out certain sins that the people of the land of Canaan have committed. And he says, because of these sins, the land is vomiting them forth. And if you commit these same sins, the land will vomit you forth as well. Now, these sins, you can read Leviticus 18 and 20, and you can see what those sins are. They are mostly sexual. They deal with incestual relations. They deal with adultery. They deal with homosexuality, bestiality. They also deal with child sacrifice. It's no accident that whenever you have sexual immorality, you're also going to have children that are produced from that are unwanted. Now, really, I don't think there's anything such thing as an unwanted child, but they are unwanted by their parents. and undesired by their parents. And in our country today, even where parents are married, even where there's a loving relationship, because so many even Christians don't have a love of children and don't truly view children as a blessing, even some of the children that are allowed to live and that are cared for in a family, truth be known, and sometimes truth is told to those children, they're told, you were an accident. We didn't mean to have you. And those kids grow up, and it affects them even into adulthood, realizing that they were an accident. But we know that there are no accidents with God, that God is the one that has ordained for each and every human being that has been conceived to live on this earth. And we all have a purpose. We all have a plan. We're all a part of God's plan. And we've studied how God, even before we were even formed, that God planned out our days, and he fashioned those days for us, and he has a plan for each and every person. But whenever you have sexual immorality, you're going to have quote-unquote unwanted children, quote-unquote accidents, and you're going to have child sacrifice. And this is what you see in Leviticus chapters 18 and 20. But I bring that up to show that God judged the nation of Israel. God told the nation of Israel that he would judge them by the same standard that he was judging the Canaanites who were before them. In fact, God even told the children of Israel that certainly he would judge them by a higher standard, because they had the law of God. They had the precepts of God. But it doesn't mean that the Canaanites, who were a pagan nation, doesn't mean that they were scot-free, that they were able to get off without obeying or without any consequences, that they were able to continue to commit these sexual sins, that they were able to continue to bring their children to the priest of Baal, to the priest of Ashtaroth, and have them sacrificed, the priest of Molech, and have their children killed without any consequences for their actions. No, the Canaanites were judged, and when their sin had reached a certain level, God planned to bring his judgment on them and to give that land to the children of Israel. We read also in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods, which you have not known. And so we see here that God sets blessings and curses in front of the people. He sets this in front of you and in front of me. If we personally obey God, God will bless us personally. If we personally disobey God, God will curse us personally. But also, pay attention to this, and listen to this. If we as a nation obey God, God will bless our nation. If we as a nation disobey God, God will curse our nation. And I mentioned a little bit ago that the blood of the children that have been shed through abortion is actually crying out from the ground for vengeance. And we go to Genesis chapter 4 to read about this guilt of bloodshed and how the blood actually cries out from the ground. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, we read, "Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And God said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." And there is a concept that you see in the Bible called blood guiltiness. And certainly Cain was guilty of the blood of Abel because he had shed innocent blood. He had shed the blood of his brother. And God told Cain, "His blood cries from the ground to me. His blood cries out to the ground to me." Now, think about what has happened in this nation, where we have had at least 66 million preborn children legally murdered, legally killed, have their arms and legs ripped off, their skulls crushed. In some cases, they're pulled out with their organs intact so that their organs can be sold. It's against the law, but Planned Parenthood has done it. They've been caught red-handed. And what happened when they were caught red-handed? Well, the film crew and the individual that was responsible for catching them red-handed was prosecuted instead of Planned Parenthood being prosecuted for selling organs. And they should have been prosecuted for this. But these parts of the babies are actually being sold for money. So not only is the abortionist actually making money and the abortion mill actually making money off of shedding the innocent blood of the preborn child, but the actual abortion procedure in some cases is being altered and modified, not for the health of the mother, but is being altered and modified for the preservation of certain organs, because a heart that is preserved is worth more than a heart that's been ripped shred to shred by a suction machine. A liver that is preserved in whole is worth more than a liver that has been ripped shred to shred by a suction machine or cut with a scalpel. So the actual process of abortion is actually changed for the benefit of the abortion mill so that they can make more money selling the parts of preborn children. But note here that when innocent blood is shed, that blood cries from the ground for vengeance. And what we see in America, because of abortion, we have the blood of 66 million preborn children crying to the ground for vengeance. Now, when we look at this guilt of innocent blood, we see in Genesis that Cain was guilty and the blood of Abel was actually crying to the ground to God for vengeance. And we look and we see, well, that's individual. So certainly we could say with abortion that the abortionist, that the blood of the preborn children is crying out from the abortionist. What about the parents of the baby that may have paid for, maybe the father paid for, the father of this baby may have paid for the abortion. Maybe the father actually encouraged or forced or pressured, sometimes even at gunpoint, this abortion, his girlfriend or his wife to have the abortion. Sometimes the father's fighting for the life of the baby, but has no rights to fight. Sometimes the grandparents of the baby are actually saying, you can't care for a baby right now. Get an abortion. You need to get an abortion. And the mother, sometimes she's being pressured into abortion, but sometimes she wants to do this, or she may not want to do it, but she believes that it's her only option. So she actually is a willful participant and actually the one that hands over the money and actually pays the abortionist to rip her baby limb from limb. But also the guilt goes even further beyond. And by the way, you can also think, well, what about the people that work in the abortion mills? What about the people that provide their services? What about the people that pick up the dead babies and take them to the labs or take them to the other facilities where these dead babies are used for research purposes? What about the companies that actually buy these aborted baby parts, or the research scientists that buy these aborted baby parts and make the practice of killing innocent human life more profitable? What about them? What about the government and the government policies that actually pay in some cases for abortion? Even in the state of Florida, if there's a life of a mother issue or rape, federal tax dollars can be used, your money can be used to pay for an abortion. And then what about you as the taxpayer who has handed that money over, really maybe not willingly? Certainly if you don't do it, you're in trouble. We're not advocating not paying your taxes, but what guilt do you have in paying for some of this abortion, not willfully, but because the government, because the people that we have put into office, the people that we have allowed to represent us, have done a poor job? But the community itself and the nation itself actually bears guilt for bloodshed. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, beginning of verse 1, we read, "If anyone is found slain, lying in the field, in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess, and it is not known who killed him, then your elders and your judges shall go out and measure the distance from the slain man to the surrounding cities. And it shall be that the elders of the city nearest to the slain man will take a heifer which has not been worked and which has not pulled with a yoke. The elders of that city shall bring the heifer down to a valley with flowing water, which is neither plowed nor sown, and they shall break the heifer's neck there in the valley. Then the priests, the sons of Levi shall come near, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister to him and to bless in the name of the Lord. By their word, every controversy and every assault shall be settled, and all the elders of that city nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifers whose neck was broken in the valley. Then they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. Provide atonement, O Lord, for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, and do not lay innocent blood to the charge of your people Israel. An atonement shall be provided on their behalf for the blood. So you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord." So here we see innocent blood being shed, and that blood is crying to the ground to God for vengeance. And we see that not only is the person that shed the blood guilty, but also the community that was nearby, if that guilt was upon them, and for them to actually be absolved of that guilt, they had to be able to say, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have we known that about it. And with abortion, we cannot do that. Certainly, some of you have personally been involved in an abortion. Maybe you are an abortionist, or you have been an abortionist, or you've worked in an abortion clinic. Maybe you were a mother who felt like this was your only option, your only choice. Maybe you were a father who was encouraging or pressuring or even forcing your girlfriend or your wife to kill your own child. Maybe you're a grandparent who actually pressured your daughter or your daughter-in-law to have an abortion. Or maybe you're a friend who advised you have no other option, you need to have this abortion. So there are some that have physically taken part in abortion. But each and every one of us, whether you've taken part in an abortion or not, we know that this is happening. In my county, in the city of Fort Pierce, at 12th and Delaware, preborn children are being killed. With a little bit of research, you can find out when it's happening. In Port St. Lucie, real close to the hospital, preborn children are being killed. We cannot pray, God, we have not known that this was happening. We need to cry out before God. We need to fall on our faces before Him and pray that He would forgive us, that He would have mercy upon us. We need to pray that God would have mercy upon us individually and also upon our nation, the United States of America. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Your crown.